thought about the verse that says in Revelation somewhere, John saw a lamb as it had been slain, standing. He was slain. He is alive forevermore. Glory be to God. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 6, please. We've been looking at the Lord's Prayer, a series of messages on it. We come again to it today to consider one of the requests that we are supposed to pray as a guideline to our prayers each and every day throughout our lives. For the scripture reading, let's look at verse 9 and let's read it together once again. Matthew 6 and verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We have been looking at this prayer and we have been talking about prayer not being a substitute for action. One of the things we tried to point out as we go along is we pray for these things, but then we know that we have to do our part, right? For example, give us this day our daily bread. But that does not exempt us from going and earning a living and putting bread on the table. We do so knowing that it is He who gives us the power, the ability to be able to go and earn that bread. So in all of these requests, we know that there is prayer, there is request to be made, but we have to cooperate with the asking or with the request. Prayer is not a substitute for action. It is an action for which there is no substitute. The Lord's Prayer covers a lot of ground. You know, it really does. We might think of it as a comprehensive prayer. If you've got insurance on your car, chances are you may have what's called comprehensive coverage. Comprehensive coverage means it covers all kinds of losses. Losses that are your fault, losses that may not be your fault. You know, if nobody has insurance, if you have comprehensive, it's covered. This is a comprehensive prayer. And what I mean by that is, it covers so much of our lives. It covers our past. It covers our present. It covers our future. In the sense of the past, we ask for forgiveness of things we've done that are wrong. We pray for forgiveness of past sins. Then in the present, we ask for present needs. Give us this day our daily bread. We pray things that we need in the present. And then looking toward the future, and I'm not talking about distant future, I'm talking about like today, what's going to happen the rest of today, we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So we're praying for all things, we're praying for all times, we're praying for every conceivable need. When we come to verse 13, we're going to take up this morning the first part of that verse, where it says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We ask God to guide us, lead us not the wrong way, lead us not into temptation. And then we pray not only for God to guide us, we pray for Him to guard us, deliver us from the evil of this world, deliver us literally from the evil one. Now, there are three things I want to point out about praying this part of the prayer that will be our outline to talk about this morning. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The first thing I want to say to you this morning is we should admit our own weakness. We should admit our own weakness. Now, all of us are going to be tempted. Agree? Of course we are. Being tempted is not a sin. Being tempted is a part of being human. Even our Lord Jesus Christ was tempted. The Bible says He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And I just want to pause there to remind us all that those three words are so important. Our whole salvation hinges on those three words, yet without sin. He was tempted like we are, yet without sin. He did no sin. Therefore, He could be that perfect sacrifice. He could die on your behalf and on mine. He died in your place. But He was tempted. We're all tempted. It's a part of human life. And yet, we are taught here that we should pray, lead us not into temptation. Now, maybe some of you are wondering, well, why would you need to pray for God not to lead you into temptation? Doesn't the Bible say that He will not intentionally put sin before you? You're absolutely right. As a matter of fact, it says those exact words over in the book of James. Let me read it for you here this morning. James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So the question is, if it says here, and clearly it is true, that God cannot be tempted by sin, nor does He tempt any man, then why do we need to pray this way? Lead us not into temptation. Here's the reason. That word temptation, or the word tempt, has two meanings. It means on the one hand, to entice someone to do evil. On the other hand, that same word means to put to the test, or to try someone. So a person like you or me, anybody, anywhere that prays this way, what we're simply doing is we're admitting our own weakness and saying, Lord, You sometimes allow us to be tempted, to be tried, to be tested, but I know my own weakness, Lord, and I just pray that You will not put me to the test. Let me just give you an example. We're preaching on the book of Job on Sunday nights. We're looking at that chapter by chapter. And I tell you what, you read the story of Job and you see what all happened to him. I find myself, as I read the book of Job and study the book of Job, saying to the Lord nearly every time I'm in that book, Lord, please don't let me have to go down the path that Job went down. You tried him. You tested him. And thank You, Lord, that he stood the test. But I know how weak I am. Don't put me to that kind of test or anything even remotely close to that. When we pray, lead us not into temptation. We're praying, Lord, don't allow us to be tested. Don't allow me to be tried. You see, when you come to the place of temptation, the devil will bring you there so that you'll sin and fall. He wants to tear you down through temptation. But when we come to temptation as far as the Lord is concerned, He uses that sometimes in our life as a trial, as a test, not to tear us down, but to build us up. But even at that, a wise person will say, Lord, deliver me from that testing. Lead me not into that testing, because I know what I'm made of and I know what I'm capable of doing, and I don't want to be found a sinner. I don't want to give in to temptation. I don't want to fail the test. I want to live faithfully. I want to live purely. I want to live a godly life. I don't want to be tested in that way. So, Lord, lead me not, lead us not into temptation. There was a professional boxer who was quite successful. Somebody asked him one time, said, what is it that makes you so successful? What really motivates you, sir, to be good in the ring? You know what he said? He said, I have a fear of getting beat. And a wise man. And a wise Christian will say, I don't want to get beat. I don't want to give in to temptation. Therefore, I'm going to pray, lead me not into temptation, so I won't be tempted. I won't fall. You see, the truth is, we can be tempted at all times and in all places, and we can be caught off guard, and we can go down very, very easily. Let me just give you a couple of examples. We'll ask David. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the man after God's own heart. You know what he did? He went up on his housetop one evening, and all it took was a look. And guys, you're with me on this. That's all it takes for us guys, is a look. He saw Bathsheba taking a bath. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. You know the song. It's all it took was just a look. Think of the weakness of David in that moment. Think about Peter and those disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus is pouring out His heart and saying, "Oh Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done." He had told His disciples to stay over in a certain place of the garden and watch and pray. And when He came back, what were they doing? They were asleep. And they hadn't been on a mission trip all night either. They were not careful. They were not watchful. And they lapsed into a little nap. Oh, how easy it is to just fall into sin. I was doing a little bit of study. I got to do a little study of this message this morning. Not as much as I like to do, but I did try to fit it in. And one of the verses I came across, it was found in the book of Ecclesiastes, and it's a verse that I don't ever recall pondering or considering. And it was as I was thinking about and studying about how easily it is for us to be tripped up and to fall into sin. It's a verse in Ecclesiastes. You may want to mark it down. Chapter 10 and verse 9. Here's what it says. "Whoso removeth stones shall be hurt therewith, and he that cleaveth wood shall be endangered thereby." Now what's that verse saying? Well, it's saying in the everyday, common, ordinary things of life, you can get hurt. You know, back in those times, they had to quarry stones by hand. They dug them out. So here's a guy chipping at a stone, and he gets hurt by chipping that stone. Maybe a piece flies off and hits him in the eye or, you know, wounds him some way. Here's a man chopping wood, and the handle flies off, or the blade flies off, and he or somebody gets hurt. Just a common, ordinary, everyday thing, and how easily it is we can get hurt. And what I'm saying to you is what's true in the physical is also true in the spiritual. Things that where you'd say, I'll never get into sin today. It could be going grocery shopping. I had a man to tell me one time that a woman solicited him in the aisle of a grocery store. And I'll tell you what, when I heard that, chills went over me. You never know. You just never know. So we got to admit our own weakness. Number two, we need to avoid known temptation. Now this gets back to what I was saying before. I've tried to emphasize this where we can in this prayer, that when we pray, we ask God for certain things, but we have to be willing to cooperate with Him. If I'm praying, "Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil," then I have to be willing to cooperate with Him and stay away from known temptation. It's amazing sometimes how we can put ourselves in the very place we don't need to be. We need to avoid the wrong kinds of people. We need to avoid the wrong places. We need to avoid the wrong activities. Then we can pray and we can be genuine and honest in praying that way. "Lord, lead me not into temptation, and I'm going to do my best to stay away myself. So I'm going to do what I can to cooperate with You." Sometimes you have to be around people that have bad attitudes, that have a bad view on life. You work with some of them, and you have no choice about that. But if you have a choice about who you can be around, thank you, Todd. Thank you so much. He brought me some water and something to spit in. How about that? Thank you, brother. Thank you. Appreciate it. You know, sometimes you have to be around certain people with bad attitudes. You work with them or go to school with them. And that's, you know, you can't do much about that. But if you have a choice, avoid people with rotten attitudes. Don't put yourself in a place of temptation. If you choose to be around people with bad attitudes, you know what's going to happen? You're going to end up having one. In fact, you may already have one. Nobody's told you about it. Avoid known temptations. Avoid it at all costs. Heard a story about a guy who was on a diet. And you know how it can be on a diet when you're trying to stick to that diet? And so he wanted to do his best, and yet, boy, he was really tempted. His weakness was sweets. And this guy on his way to work had to pass by a donut shop. Oh, what temptation. Well, he gave the testimony that that morning he prayed because he had donut on the mind, on the brain when he got up. And he knew he was going to have to pass by that donut shop. And so he said, "Lord, lead me not into temptation." And as the Lord would have it, he went by that donut shop because that was the way he had to travel to get where he needed to go. And he looked over there and the donut shop was full. I mean, they were backed up to the door and there was no parking place in the parking lot. And he said, "Isn't that just like the Lord?" Sadly, that's not the end of the story. Because he went on to say, he said, "You know, there was not a parking spot in that lot until I circled the block 5 times. He was cooperating with the Lord, wasn't he? Yeah. We have to pray, but we have to really mean business, don't we? We sure we do. The Bible says we need to stay clear of temptation. Let me give you a couple of verses. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. "Enter not the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away." It's like the Lord making it abundantly clear, don't go in the wrong places. Stay clear. It tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. It's a great promise. Listen to this one. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." That is, every temptation, don't consider you're the only one that's been tempted that way. Temptation is worldwide. It's been going on ever since the days of Adam and Eve after they sinned in the garden. "No temptation has taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you or permit you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." Now our problem is, we don't always look for the way out. Sometimes we're looking for the way in. You know the best way out of a temptation is to stay out. Are you with me? Avoid known temptation. Ask the Lord to help you avoid it, but then you avoid it. Do the best that you can and stay away from known temptation. Now, a third thought I want to offer on this part of the prayer. It says, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Literally is what it says. Deliver us from the evil one. And this reminds us here that we're living behind enemy lines. We're living on enemy turf. We're walking through a minefield. Don't you feel that way? Of course you do. You know that there's danger lurking everywhere. We're living in a sinful world. And we face the unholy Trinity. What is that? The world, the flesh, and the devil. And we need to pray for deliverance from all three. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Those are our lifetime foes. And we will have that until the day we die. We will be in a battle against the world and the flesh and the devil. And the Lord is the only one who can deliver us from all sorts of evil. Let me just mention these three. The ways of the world. The Bible says in 1 John 2, verses 15 and 16, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." Let me tell you something about the ways of the world. There is everything in this world to tear you down, and there is nothing in this world to build you up. And you ought to beware of the philosophies of the world, and the ways of the world, and the temptations of this world system. The Bible says that the devil is the prince of this world. He is the god of this age. Little god. Little g. But he is controlling a system of which we're a part. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Because we've been set apart from that. But all the danger is still there. The ways of the world, the weakness of the flesh. The flesh means our sinful human nature. You know, when we're tempted, we're just like something that's very flammable. If I were to have two piles here, two things, one highly flammable and one that was not flammable, Well, there would be a world of difference if I had sparks going here and some of them fell over here and some of them fell over here. A world of difference. Well, I want you to get that image in your mind because that's exactly what is true of Christ and us. When temptation came to Christ, He was the one that could not sin. Though He was tempted, He was perfectly holy. And so when temptation came to Him, there was nothing there to grab a hold of. There was nothing there that the spark could catch fire. But on the other hand, we are that flammable gas. And all it takes is just a few sparks. And there we are. And first thing you know, when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. You see, there's the ways of the world, but there's the weakness of the flesh. I know myself too well to know that it doesn't take much to get me off the right path. It doesn't take much to lure me away. And that's true of all of us. Someone said that sin often happens when an undetected weakness meets up with an unexpected opportunity. Undetected weakness, that's the flesh, and an unexpected opportunity. Then there's the wiles of the devil. You know, the devil never goes fishing without putting bait on his hook. And the devil knows how to dangle things in our path that look attractive. And what we need to learn to do is we need to ask the Lord for protection, and then He will give wisdom to where we can look for the hook. We can look for the problem. We can look for the danger. We can see this is not of God. There's a danger here. There's a warning here. And God is telling me not to do this or that. Stay clear. Ephesians 6 and verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That means the methods of the devil. He's too clever for you and he's too clever for me. But he's not too clever for God. God has wisdom we need. And so there's the ways of the world. There's the weakness of the flesh. There's the wiles of the devil. The only way to overcome sin and temptation is to pray and then to do what we're supposed to do. And in addition to pray, we need to feed on God's Word. You know, these are the sure ways to get victory in the Christian life, through prayer and through the Word of God. That's why we need to spend time in it. I was reading something by Spurgeon this week, and he was commenting on his text, which was 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Listen to his text. It alone is a message. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. If you're here and you're listening to this message about deliver us from evil and lead us not into temptation, you're sitting there thinking, well, I'd never do that, you're setting yourself up for a pretty fall. Let me restate that. You're setting yourself up for an ugly fall. You'll fall. Let him that thinketh he standeth, he's going around so cocksure, let him take heed lest he fall. And Spurgeon was preaching on that and recorded in a part of a message. Here's what he said about that. Be much in prayer. Spend a longer time in holy adoration. Read the Scriptures more earnestly and constantly. Watch your lives more carefully. Live nearer to God. Take the best examples for your pattern. Now think about that. Live nearer to God. Let me tell you something this morning. You are as near to God as you want to be. You are as near to the Lord as you want to be. Live nearer to God. The Bible says, draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. And I'm glad He does. And I need to stay as close as I can get. And I'm not as close as I can get. That's why I know I need to get closer. And I need to abide in His presence. Because I've got these enemies. And I know the power of the enemy. There's the ways of the world. There's the weakness of the flesh. There's the wiles of the devil. So let me just tell you what Spurgeon told his congregation. Live closer. Live closer. Read more. Pray more. You know, one thing I want to leave you with today is a reminder that victory doesn't depend on you or me. It depends upon the Lord. He's given us this prayer to pray. And I just want to close by encouraging you. Did you know that as you pray for him not to lead you into temptation and deliver you from evil, did you know that he's praying for you? You're praying, and the Lord Jesus Christ is praying. Here's what we have recorded in Luke chapter 22 and verse 32. See, Jesus knew that Peter was going to fall, and he was going to falter, and he was going to wilt under pressure. But before that ever happened, here's what the Lord told Peter. Luke 22, 32, "But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." What's true of Peter is true for you. The Lord has prayed for you. The Lord prays for us. He intercedes for us. He knows our weakness. Now, does that exempt me from praying? Of course not. But it's good to know as I'm praying, He's already prayed and is praying for my faith to remain strong and true. John 17:15. Again, Jesus is praying for all believers. "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil." The prayer of Christ. And then the Bible assures us that the Lord is the one able to keep us from falling. I want to close with this verse in Jude. It only has one chapter, and it closes that book right before Revelation this way. Verses 24 and 25. Listen. "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." Did you catch that? "Unto him that is able to keep you from falling." When you boil it right down, I can't keep myself from falling. Even through prayer, even through the Word of God, it's His power. And to know that I'm in the grip of grace, I'm in the grip of God's power, I'm in the grip of His wisdom, that makes all the difference. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank You for Your precious Word again this morning. Thank You for this model prayer. And help us to use it as a guideline and as a springboard into deeper prayer and more prayer. Help us to do what we just said, Lord, all of us here today, to live closer to You, to bathe each day, each moment in prayer, to focus our minds and our hearts upon Your Word. Lord, You know how this world is. You've warned us about it. You know how many minefields and pitfalls and snares. And we just come to You today as a needy people, saying, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You alone have the power to do it. We want to stay pure. We want to stay focused. We want to stay godly men and women and young people. So we ask You to help us do that. For Your name's sake, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to ask You to come and